Romans chapter number 8. Y'all notice this thing setting up here? Any of y'all know what this is, ladies? We got one, we got two, three. Too many of y'all use them Whop biscuits. That belonged to my grandmother, and I'm going to work it into this message here in a little while and give you an illustration that was passed on to me. It's a real blessing and helps us to understand how God's working in our lives. In Romans chapter number 8, we'll read a few verses here. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now let's just, for the sake of time, turn over with me. Let's go down to verse number 27. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We'll stop reading right there. Brother Adam, would you pray? Yes, Lord. God, help us. Yes. Lord, help us. Yes, Lord. Bless you. Amen. I'm interested tonight in verse number 29, where it says, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." And I want to preach for just a little while tonight on this thought. He's still working on me. And if you're a child of God, he's still working on you. You know, if you look at this whole chapter right here, it covers so many things, and I just want to touch on just a few thoughts out of it for the sake of time tonight. But Lord, you could preach through this chapter right here for weeks and weeks on end. But you know, it goes from condemnation to justification through salvation, and then it moves on to sanctification, I think, and glorification, all the way down to no separation. And you know, tonight I just want to preach for a little bit on he's still working on me. And I want us, first of all tonight, let's just look at the first part of this chapter. We had a problem in our lives, and it was a problem of condemnation. Condemnation. We, through Adam's nature, what we're born with into this old world, and we're lost and we need a Savior. But God has taken care of that problem for us. Amen? And you know, we're not saved by works of righteousness that we could do, but the Lord Jesus Christ, through God the Father, has made a way that condemnation could be passed from us and that salvation could be brought in through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us, in this thought right here of the problem of condemnation, I want us to look at verse number 2 right here, and let's look at the work of the law. He said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I thank God for the law. I thank God tonight for the Word of God tonight and how it worked in my life when I was lost and undone without God. You see, the law, friend, it could never save a person, but what it can do is show a person that they're lost. God has said in His Word that this law is a schoolmaster to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what happens when a lost person gets under the preaching of the gospel? They get convicted, friend. The gospel will reveal to a lost person their lost condition. It'll show them, friend, through that of the working of the preaching of the Word of God and that of the Holy Ghost. Of God, it'll show a lost person that they need salvation. And let me tell you, the law, friend, I like it, friend. I look back at when I was a lost person. I'd go into church and I'd hear preaching. There was something I didn't like about it because it convicted me. It scared me. But let me tell you, that's the working of the law. And the law, friend, of sin and death, friend, it'll show you that death is where you're headed to without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the working of the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And let me tell you something. There's never been a person saved by the works of the law. You can't be good enough, friend, to say that I've never broken any of God's laws. We're all sinners and we need to be saved by the grace of God. The work of the law, it condemns, it convicts, it convinces, but it can never cleanse, it can never convert, it can never justify a lost sinner. What it does, though, is an amazing thing, isn't it? You remember how you heard preaching and how it convicted your heart and God began to draw you with cords of love. Oh, I thank God. Hey, the problem of condemnation, God gave us His law. He gave us His Word to do a work in our lost condition. But then there was the work of God that's mentioned in verse number 3. He says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, we'd never be able to keep the law. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Ain't you glad that God loves you enough to send His only begotten Son to come into this world, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost? He lived a holy, a harmless, an undefiled life, and He went to Calvary's cross, and there, the one that knew no sin, hey, the one that never sinned, there was no guile found in Him. He was holy as He hung upon the cross, but God took my sins, and He took your sins, and He laid them all upon His Son. What a work that God did for you and me, that we could go free. Oh, we were the ones that was worthy of death. And so God, through His Son, the work of God, He moved you and He moved me from condemnation to salvation. Ain't that wonderful tonight? What amazing grace that God has provided for you and for me. Not only in this problem of condemnation, there was a work of the law and the work of God, but I see the work of the Spirit of God. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, the Bible says that He was speaking and saying that when the Spirit of God, Ghost, comes upon man, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Hey, I remember when the Holy Ghost got on my trail and began to reprove me of my wickedness and of my sin, and hey, listen, and of righteousness, how wicked I was living, but mostly, friend, of judgment to come. And that judgment that He speaks about right there, friend, He's talking about when He gets a person under conviction and shows them that they're just a heartbeat out of hell, things will go to picking up in a lost sinner's life. Well, listen. God has sent the Holy Ghost into this world to search out sinners and to convict and to draw and convince them that they're sinners, and to convince them that they're just, listen, that they're heading to a devil's hell, that they need to be saved. The working of the Spirit of God, not only that, that of convincing of a lost person, but what about a saved man? In John chapter 14, the Bible says that he abides. He's coming to abide forever. Hey, one thing I realized when I got saved, that it was that something changed on the inside of me. The things that I once did, when I began to be tempted by sin, there was something different. There was somebody inside that would say, no, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't say that. Hey, I'm glad that God has given me something inside of me to help guide me and lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, ain't God good? Ain't you glad that He hadn't just left us alone? He's come to live and abide in a saved person's life forever. He becomes our teacher. He walks with us. And He talks with us. If you're saved, you can't do wrong and not feel conviction. Amen. Amen. I ain't saying I ain't never done anything wrong since I got saved. But I can tell you one thing, there's been conviction every time I've ever done something wrong. Let me tell you, and if I don't get things straightened out and get things confessed, there's coming some chastisement too. God chastises His children, friend. And let me tell you, if you're without chastisement, you better do some checking up. Amen? I got Bible to back that up. If God don't chastise you, the Bible says that you're not a son. Amen. Listen. In Romans 8 and 16, I see something here. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you've got the Spirit of God, you've got a witness living in you that you are a child of God. If any man have not the Spirit of God, it says up here in verse number 9, he is none of His. Pretty plain, ain't it? Pretty plain. You ain't got to be a Bible scholar to know whether you're saved or lost. If you don't have the Spirit of God within you, then you're none of His. I'm talking about the problem of condemnation that God has fixed for us. All a man, woman, boy, or girl has to do is just accept what God has done. But not only this problem of condemnation, but I see a problem of carnality right here. Back in chapter 7 and verse 14, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of the earth here was the Apostle Paul. He said this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin." Now, Paul goes on and he's got a battle going on within him. Paul was a great, great preacher. Gave us many writings in the Bible right here. But Paul said that many times the things that he would do or should do, that he didn't do. And the things that he shouldn't do, that he did. Sound like me? That sound like you? Carnal. There's a walk of carnality mentioned in verse number 4 back in chapter 8. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A walk of carnality. Are you walking tonight in the Spirit or the flesh? What's got the biggest control of your life tonight? Hey, let me ask you something tonight. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? We're to be a vessel that God can fill and use. We have to pray to keep our temple clean and holy and acceptable to God, that He might fill us with the Holy Ghost. But we live in a day and an hour, friend, when there's a majority of Christians in the day that we live are walking more in the flesh than they are in the Spirit. Amen. It's a battle. We live in a day of materialism and things, of pleasures, friend. We're living in the last days, just like Paul said it, would be a time of perilous things. when men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He said, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Boy, y'all quiet. The walk of carnality in verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's some things we need to kill in our life. You know what your weakness is. I know what my weaknesses are. And there's some things that we're going to have to kill if we're going to walk in the Spirit of God and we're going to be used of God. If we're going to live a life that's pleasing to God, we're going to have to mortify some of the deeds that we do, some of the things that's going on in our life. God knows all about it. And let me tell you, He ain't pleased with some things that's going on. Amen? The walk of carnality. But not only that, notice this. There's a warfare with carnality that's going on. In verse number 5 right here, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Flesh and spirit don't mix. Amen? But we got a problem. We all got flesh. And if we're saved, we got the Spirit of God within us. And there's a warfare that's going in day by day in our lives. And we need to mortify this flesh, the things that takes us in the wrong direction away from God. Listen, in Galatians chapter number 5, something you're real familiar with, he says this in Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know this flesh lusts for evil? This flesh loves sin. Amen? It does. And we got a problem with our flesh. Just well to admit it, hadn't we? Because God's Word's true. He said, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I remember preaching a message here a while back, and I titled it out of James chapter number 4, Married to Christ, but in love with the world. That's where we stand, most of us. And we have to guard ourselves against it. This world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. And we better get our hearts right with God and get to serving God. And, you know, we want God to serve us. Amen? But God wants us to serve Him and to live for Him. He's given us just a few short years here. And we better get to serving God and get ourselves in the will of God. The walk of carnality, the warfare with carnality. But there's a warning about carnality in verse 6 through 10. He said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know what? You can be saved and be dead. Amen. You can be a hindrance. You can be a help. The choice is up to you. The carnal mind is death to the spiritual man. You can keep the spiritual man beat down so in your life, even though you're saved. You can keep him beat down to where you're of no good. No good to anybody. Get so consumed with flesh and the things of the flesh. The carnal mind takes you away from the things of God. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Your enemy. You don't want to pick a fight with God. Amen. You don't want Him to be your enemy. You want Him to be your help and your hope. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't be straddle of the fence. God says we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. In other words, we need to do our best to live a holy life. God wants us to be sanctified. God wants to make us holy. We ought to be growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be growing in holiness and killing the things that the devil puts in your life to tempt you and draw you away from God. It's a battle. And listen to me, friend. It's a battle you're going to have to fight for yourself. Amen? Now, God will help you, but you're going to have to do some things for yourself. Amen. The devil, he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. The carnal mind will lead you in the wrong direction. It'll cause you to have the wrong desires, the wrong devotions. And let me tell you something. Talking about this thing of carnality minded is death. Mamas and daddies, you may think, well, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. You're living death in front of your kids. Amen. Your kids are dependent on you. Listen, daddies, you're the priest of your home. And you better know what kind of effect your life is having on your kids. Because you're going to stand before God one day and give an account for your children because they're His children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Listen, we've got the Spirit of God as a saved person living within us. But does the Spirit of God have you? Does the Spirit of God have you where God wants you to be? I'll give you that question. You've got the Spirit, but has the Spirit got you under control? Now, the problem of condemnation, the problem of carnality, God wants to fix that problem. We're going to have to help ourselves, though. But now, thirdly and lastly, where I want to really get to tonight is the problem of conforming. Over in verse number 29 again. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God is wanting us as Christians to be growing more Christ-like day by day. And God is going to do some work in our lives to get us to that place. Amen? And let me say this. It may take some suffering to get us there, because we're bullheaded and we love flesh, we love sin, and let me tell you something, God ain't pleased with that. If you look through the Bible, friend, let me tell you something. You look through the Bible, your greatest Bible characters suffered. Amen? The greatest men that God had, they suffered for Christ. And let me tell you something. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, I'm talking about God working a conforming work in our life. And a lot of times we may think it's a problem, but God's working on us. Over in Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know what's that acceptable and perfect will of God for our life. Listen, suffering is biblical. Paul said this about himself as his own example, that he was, no doubt, he was rejected by his own. He was persecuted. He was beaten 5 times with stripes, 39 stripes, 3 times with rods, He was in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen. He was in prison often. And let me tell you something, if there's ever been a godly man that done a great work for God, it was the Apostle Paul, but he suffered great, great things. Do you remember when God, when Saul was converted, God told, I believe it was Ananias, to go over there and tell him he must suffer many things for my name. Suffering, I don't like suffering, do you? I ain't particularly fond of thinking about having to suffer, but I'd rather suffer for doing good than doing evil. I'd rather suffer for Christ's sake than the sake of this old flesh and this old world. But look now, if you would, right here, at some things out of this chapter right here, and we'll be done shortly. Paul said this about, I'm talking about the conforming of you and me. First of all, I want you to know there's some intercession that I sure am proud of. Notice right here in verse 26 and 27, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Ain't you glad you got somebody praying for you? Listen, verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hey, you know something today? The Holy Ghost of God and Jesus Himself has made intercession for you all day, child of God. He's watched over you. His eyes are upon His children, and He's interceding for you and me with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He says right here, we don't even know what we ought to be praying for, but He knows what we need. Amen? And if we need some suffering to come our way to make us more like Him, He's going to send it our way. But listen to me, friend. He's going to pray for you all the way through it. Amen? We need to realize we're never alone. God is with us. He's making intercession for us. But I want you to notice these things in verse number 28 right here. He says, and we know, talking about Christians now, there's some things that we as Christians can know about this thing of being conformed to the image and likeness of God. He said that all things, can I say about this? The ingredients that's involved in this, all things work together for good. The incorporation of these ingredients is working together for our good. That's the end result. God is doing a good work, and He's going to perform it in our lives. And the things that He puts in our lives, He's working for our good if we love the Lord. Amen. Listen to me now. Getting to the bread bowl here, the bread tray. Now, Jamie gave me this illustration. I thought it was great for this verse right here. We know that all things work together for good. Now, you know, this was my grandmother's old bread tray right here. Used to set up on her cabinet. There'd be flour in this thing right here, and there'd be a towel spread over it. When she got ready to make biscuits now, folks used to live off of biscuits. Them old lard biscuits and white gravy. I mean, folks would have starved to death if they hadn't had biscuits when they's, you know, back in the older days. But you know what she would do? She would have flour in there. This was one of the ingredients. And buttermilk. Not only buttermilk, but a good handful of lard would be thrown in there. But let me tell you this, as God is working in our lives, it's a whole lot like making biscuits. You know, flour is one ingredient. It is something that's grown out in a field, and it's just a seed. But you know, as you process that seed, you know what has to be done? It has to be crushed. It's put on a grinding wheel, and it's ground into a powdery substance that can be used. You ever felt like something had you in a place, just had you mashed down and was grinding on you in your life, and you just couldn't get out of it? It's like that ingredient of flour. But God's working. Not only that, but that buttermilk is poured in that flour. I don't know about you, I don't like buttermilk. That stuff ruined. I tell you how that stuff got invented. Somebody let the milk sour. And they were so poor, they had to drink it anyway. But it makes good biscuits. It makes good cornbread. It's bitter. It's bitter. Isn't it amazing that this thing of grinding, it's an ingredient in this thing of making biscuits. And then the buttermilk is something bitter. Anything in life ever come your way that's got you bitter? Has God ever put something in your life that, boy, I mean, it's just hard to get over? Bitterness. God's working something. That old lard. You know what? That's a necessary ingredient for a good biscuit. Just old greasy lard. Seems like it ain't good for nothing. Any of y'all ever go to the refrigerator and get you out a scoop of flour and just eat flour? Or go to the refrigerator and get you some buttermilk? If you do, you ain't right with God. Not only that, but lard. I never seen nobody open up a can of lard and get them out a handful of them and go licking it. It just ain't good. But you know what you can do? The way God is working in our life, He puts these ingredients in our life. And then, you know, I remember how my grandma used to make biscuits. You know, she'd rake a little of that flour in that buttermilk, and she'd start squeezing, mashing. You ever felt like God was mashing on you? You ever felt like things is just squeezing the life out of you? But as she begins to work and bring all these ingredients together, finally it makes a ball of dough. Then I'd notice that she would mash it. She'd roll it over and push it this way and just keep working it and working it and working it. That was going to be a finished product. That's the way God does in this thing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. The things that God puts in our life sometimes, it don't seem like it's going to be good, does it? Nay, that old flour, hey, it ain't good to eat, just a handful of flour. The buttermilk and that old lard ain't no good, but let me tell you something, friend. As Grandma would work that thing, and then when it got just right, she'd begin to tear it. Tear a piece of it off. Begin to roll it up in her hand. Slap it down on the pan there and then mash it again. And when she got that pan full, into the oven. You ever felt like God had you in the fire? You ever felt like He's going through the fire? Well, listen to me. God is working things out in our life. He wants us to be conformed to the image and likeness of His Son. Let me tell you, He may have to put you in the bread bowl. He may have to mash you. He may have to put some ingredients in your life that you don't like. But let me tell you something. The end product is what God's looking for. You see, when Grandma pulled them biscuits out of the oven, they were ready. It wasn't like that old junk that was in that bread bowl, that old sticky dough and that stuff that was put together. Them biscuits come out of the oven, you throw some good old calcite butter on there, get you some blackberry jelly, get you some hoop cheese, get you some sorghum syrup, and get out of the way. The finished product. That's what God is looking for in our life. He wants to bring that finished product. Hey, listen to me. Have you ever seen anybody go through a great trial and heartache or trouble in their life? And they made it through with the help of God. And it seemed like their light shined brighter than ever before. And then when they come through that fire, when they come through that great trial, they can be a help to somebody else. That's what God is looking for in our life. And let me tell you, He's still working on you. And He's still working on me. And I don't know what He's going to put in my bowl to get me to a finished product. But I know that He's doing it for good to them that love the Lord. The intercession He's praying for us, the ingredients, all things. The incorporation, He's working it all together. And the impossible that evolves, good. Can't always see the good when you're in the fire, can you? When you're going through the trials and the things in the bowl don't look good in your life. God says, I'm working it for you good. And I'm praying for you that you'd be conformed to the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people that's involved in this process, them that love God, He's still working on me. He's still working on all of us that are saved. Amen. Stand with me. Appreciate you being here tonight.